Welcome to the In Touch podcast with Charles Stanley for Monday, November 14th. Today, we begin a series pointing us to the encouragement we have as believers in Christ. Let's continue to learn about God as our great encourager.
When you experience discouragement, where do you turn? Well, all of us are going to face it at one time or the other because that's the world we live in. Then I have a choice. I can remain discouraged, or I can choose not to be discouraged. It's a choice we make. And sometimes people think if they're discouraged, they're just hooked. No, you're not. It's a choice we make to remain in that state. I can allow discouragement to drag me down into the pits of despair and the pits, for example, of depression and all the things that go with that and live that way. Or I can look to our encouraging God and know in my heart that He is going to take me out of this discouragement because He's there to lift us out. He's there to remind us of who He is. He's there to help us to understand that His best for us is always the best. God is not a God of discouragement. He never says, "Oh, well, why don't you just do this and so? It's really bad." But everybody else is having a bad time too, so you might as well have it with them. That's not who He is. And the one thing I want you to discover in this message is this. We have a God who is an awesome encourager. But if you don't know Him personally as your Savior, then it won't make any difference. You just keep on living in discouragement. But if you're a Christian, you're a follower of Jesus, you have no legitimate defense for living in a state of discouragement. So I want you to turn, if you will, to the 15th chapter of Romans. And I want us to look at a couple of verses here in this 15th chapter. And let's start with this first verse and read just through the fifth verse. He says, for example, "Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification." That doesn't mean just to bow down to everything, but help to look out for what's best for him. Then he says, "For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me." Now look at verse 4 and 5. "For whatever was written in earlier times in the Old Testament was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scripture, we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus." And I wanted you to see how he puts these two words together. And that is perseverance and encouragement, because they fit together. Perseverance means I don't quit, I don't stop, I don't give up, I keep going, I don't just figure out what's the easiest way to go. Perseverance means you just keep at it, whatever it takes. Encouragement means, listen, to be inspired, to be motivated, to be energized. And so he's speaking of perseverance and encouragement. And these two words certainly go together. And if you'll think about it, nobody likes to live in a discouraged state. Now, when I look at this passage of Scripture and think about what he's saying here, I want us to look at a couple of words here, but first I want us to look at the word encourage, because the same word, parakaleion, is an infinitive to encourage. And I want you to see this for this reason. Here in the 15th chapter of Romans, it is translated encourage. But now hold your Bible right there and turn over it, if you will, to 2 Corinthians for a moment. And look at this very encouraging passage of Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I want you to look at something, because it'll help you understand why sometimes the same word is translated two different ways. But look at this. Verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." Now, look at this word. It's the same word translated encouragement on the one hand and comfort on the other. And so the reason those two words are interpreted that way is because of the nature of the people and the situation, the circumstance that Paul was writing to. In Romans, he had one thing in mind. Here he's talking about comforting and assuring and so forth. And so I want to look at it in the light of encouragement, because if I'm comforted, I'm being encouraged. If I'm encouraged, I'm being comforted in whatever that situation might be. Now, to encourage means to call to one side, help, to console, to strengthen, to put courage into a person, to inspire another with courage. That's what encouragement means. And Jesus spoke to his disciples, and he was usually speaking to them to encourage them in some way, and sometimes to comfort. And God is the greatest encourager there is. And I think when you and I begin to look at the Word this morning, we'll realize that oftentimes we miss out on the blessing of God because we don't realize what an encourager he is and how he desires to encourage us in any and every situation in which we face. So, if we look at this passage, it's very interesting. Also, that in the Bible, 105 times the word encouragement or to encourage or encourage is there. So that's a whole lot of encouragement in the Scripture, because God does not intend for us to live discouraged. Now, somebody might say, well, you don't know my circumstance. God does. And since he knows your circumstance, neither does he want you to live discouraged. Remember what we said. Discouragement is a choice we make. Something may happen that gets me discouraged for the moment. I make a choice whether to stay that way or to move out of that, step out of it, on the basis of my knowledge and understanding of the Word of God and what he wants to say to us. So I want you to listen carefully, because I want to give you some ammunition. I want to give you some steps to help you understand you do not have to live discouraged no matter what. In many ways, if you read the news this day and time, this is a very discouraging day in our nation. But you don't have to live that way. Somebody says, well, that's just the way things they are. Let me tell you something. I've lived long enough to know that there's always going to be discouragement. You and I make the choice of whether we're going to be discouraged or not. You can't let somebody else make your choice about such an important aspect of your life. Now, let's look at this for a moment, because I want to answer the question, what attributes does God possess that make him our great encourager? Now, you know what an attribute is. It's a characteristic of God. So here's the question. What is it about God? What is it about his nature? What are his attributes that make it possible for him to be our great encourager? So all I'm going to do is to describe what he's like, who he is, so that when it comes to a question of, well, I feel discouraged today, what shall I do? Well, who are you going to turn to? So all I want you to do is to listen to the kind of God you say you believe in. Who is this God who is the great encourager? Well, first of all, if you will go back to 2 Corinthians for a moment and look at this first chapter again, and notice how he starts off here when he says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies." He's a God of mercy. And mercy means he bends toward us. He knows what's going on in my life that would cause me to need to cry out to him. He's a God of mercy. Don't ever forget that. Secondly, he's omnipresent, which means you're not discouraged. Watch this carefully. You're not discouraged out of the reach of God. Omnipresent means that he's everywhere, and so he's not over yonder and up here and back there. Everywhere is in the presence of God. So think about this. You're discouraged about something. You say, I feel so lonely. Well, if you just made your own feeling lonely, 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 you get more and more and more discouraged. But if you think, wait a minute now, my God is a God who's omnipresent. If he's omnipresent, I can't be by myself. In other words, watch this. No matter what state you find yourself in, you're not there alone. Now, your husband or wife may have walked out, your kids may have walked away, your parents may have walked away, your friends may have walked away, but you're not alone. If you're a child of God, the Spirit of God is within you. He's omnipresent. He's always there. A third characteristic attribute would be that he's omnipotent. That is, he has all power. He governs all things. I don't have to wonder if whatever state I'm in, whatever I'm facing, I don't have to wonder if God's going to be able to handle it. He's more than enough. Why? Because you can't weigh all that God has. You can't measure all that God has, because he is omnipotent. He has all power. Now watch this. If I'm serving a God who has all power, and this God is living within me through the presence of the Holy Spirit, there isn't anything too big, too great, to keep us discouraged. God is there to help us through it no matter what. But if I don't know Him and have no experience with Him, I can still live in the dungeon of discouragement. So He's omniscient. He knows everything. That knowledge is within you in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Remember what Jesus said to His disciples? I'll not leave you as orphans. I'll come to you. He wanted them to be sure to know that He would always know their circumstance no matter where they would be. And so He says, for example, I'll be with you always, even to the end of this age. What He promised to them, He's promised to every single one of us. As a child of God, you have the wisdom and the knowledge of God within you. Now, He is also a God of grace, encouraging us when we don't deserve it. For example, when you sin against God, you say the wrong thing or have the wrong attitude and so forth, what do? If you're a true child of God and really want to do what's right, you ask Him, Lord, I ask You to forgive me for this. And what do? You say, well, Lord, You said in Your Word, if I confess my sins, agree with You about it. If I confess my sin, You are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. What an awesome God. What an awesome promise. He knows we're not going to be perfect. He knows we're going to fail. If you ask Him to forgive you and to cleanse you and to sanctify you and to help you to walk faithfully before Him, He's faithful and just to forgive us, and He's faithful to keep His own word toward us. So a person chooses to live in sin, disobedience to God, then he's still going to be faithful and the hand of discipline will come down. He is an encouraging God. Thank God He lays the rule of discipline on us when we need it. Amen? Otherwise, you just keep going the same direction and wreck and ruin your life. So He's an awesome God of grace. He is a patient God. And in the second epistle of Peter, and he's talking about God's patience. And here's what he says. He says, the Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you. God is patient with us. How many times in your life has God begun to deal with you about something you didn't want to deal with it? You put it off. What does He do? He waits and waits and waits. And I look back in my own life and think, God, how did You put up with me that long? Why could You have been so patient? Watch this. Because His all-knowing mind knows that out here you will change, you will get the point, you will move on, but He also knows when you won't. And so the fact that He's patient with us, think about what a wonderful attitude that is, that God is patient with you and me, not because we deserve it. We're talking about His characteristics. That's who He is. Then if you will notice, He's a God of wisdom. Look in Romans chapter 11 for a moment, and I want you to look at this particular verse, verse 33. Listen to what he says. When the Bible says, oh, the depths of something, that's like saying, look into the bottom of the ocean, miles and miles deep. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable His ways. What an awesome verse of Scripture. The God who is our encourager. What? The depths of the riches, both of His wisdom and knowledge, and how unsearchable, in other words, you can't plumb the depths of it. Unsearchable are His judgments, unfathomable His ways. What does that say to me? I can't think about anything that God doesn't know all about. The depths of His wisdom and knowledge, that is, He knows what is best for us at every turn in our life. Whatever the decision, whatever the question, whatever the circumstance, He has the wisdom to tell us exactly the right thing. He's likewise a God of faithfulness. And this is a wonderful verse in 2 Timothy. If you look there for just a moment, now I'm moving right along, but you can write them down. 2 Timothy 2:13. Here's what he says. If we are faithless, that is, we're not faithful, we don't choose to live up to what we know is right. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. You say, well, what do you mean deny Himself? What did He promise us? If we confess our sins, He's what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the kind of God He is. He is a very encouraging God. And all the attributes of God tell me something about His faithfulness to us. And then if you look, and there are many verses in the Psalms about God's goodness and love and so forth. The 106th Psalm And the very first verse says, "Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." That is, He sees the good things that fit your life and mine. Some things that are good for us at one age, they're not good for us at another age. Some things are good for us sometimes in our life, not good at other times in our life. And the wonderful thing about God is, look, He doesn't even push good things toward us that we can't handle. We may scratch and do thus and so to get them, but God sends good things in our life when we're ready for them. He knows what is good for me. He knows what's good for you. Now, some things He sends into my life or your life, we say, "No, this is not what I call good." Well, who's doing the calling? And who is this all-wise God? We agree that He's all-wise and full of wisdom. And so we say, well, when the tough times come, we don't think that's good. God says it's very good. Sometimes tribulation, trial, heartache, burdens, difficulties, things we don't like, God says it's very good. You know why? Because we said, look, He's omniscient. He knows all things. Right here in my life, I say it's not good. It's bad. God, where are you? And by the time I get over here, I think, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You knew that was going to be good. I didn't know it, but you knew it. And so if I understand who He is, then some things in life will not be painful because I will recognize God has something good going on, even though at the moment I don't understand it. Then I think about one of the most wonderful characteristics in the closest verse. You just go back to Malachi, last book in the Old Testament. And if you'll notice in this third chapter and the sixth verse, He says, "For I, the Lord, do not change." He doesn't change. Now think about this. You know what that means? That means that the God of Abraham is the same God we have today. Look how faithful He was to Abraham. The God of Joseph, the God of Jacob, the God of David. In other words, all through the Scriptures, He hadn't changed any. The only thing He's done is given us more insight and blessed us in more ways than we could ever begin to count. That's the kind of God you and I have. Now, if I don't know Him personally, and if I just know, and people have two or three different attitudes about God. Well, God is a spirit somewhere out there, and they can't figure out what it is, but they believe there is some kind of a God, or there's something out there that they can't describe. No, God is a warm, intimate, personal being, and He has allowed us to see Him through Jesus. One of the primary reasons Jesus came, the primary reason is to save us. One of the primary reasons He came was this: that you and I would get a glimpse of God the Old Testament saints could not have had. That's why that we say He was God incarnate, that He is God in human flesh walking among us as a man would walk. So we get a different glimpse of Him. For example, if you want to see what He was like, what did He say to the little children, "Come unto me"? And what did He say in different situations and circumstances that we find Him in the New Testament? He's always encouraging. And it's interesting, the only people Jesus condemned in the New Testament when He was walking among them were the priests, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the most religious bunch that had no earthly idea what God was like. And Jesus was revealing and is revealing so that when I think about God, what encourages me is not thinking about this God I can't quite describe physically because that's not who He is, but I can relate to Him spiritually because He walked among us as a man. He was tempted and tried in all the situations and circumstances that He felt, that He walked through. Now He's given us a beautiful example. You and I should never live in discouragement. It doesn't fit who we are or what we call ourselves. Followers of Jesus Christ, this awesome God that I just described with those 10 attributes, that's who He is. Now, if you concentrate and look at that and read it, and ask yourself the question, is that my God? That's the God of the Bible. That should be our God. If that's your God, then you have no reason to stay in the state of discouragement when you have this kind of Almighty God on your side, being faithful to you, true to you, and enabling you to live out your life because He's gifted you to live out your life in a way that's pleasing and honorable to Him. That's an awesome God.
Thank you for listening to Our Great Encourager. If you'd like to know more about Charles Stanley or InTouch Ministries, stop by intouch.org. This podcast is a presentation of InTouch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.